خب به همه دوستان خیلی خوش آمد میگم. سخنان امشب جلسه تهرانیه که جلسه رسمی ثبت شده دفتر خدمات جهانی و زیر نظر نایه 15 الکلی های گمنام در تهران است. خانم جینی با هوشیاری 28 سال از کشور آمریکا میباشند. از ایشان دعوت میکنیم صحبت های خودشون رو شروع کنند. ضمناً جلسه امشب در سایت تهران aa.org ذخیره میشه. موضوع امشب هم قدم سه بارمو جان، بفرمایید جلسه در اختیار شماست. بارمو جان صداتون نمیاد.
You can't hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. Janine, you're muted, I guess.
Yes, yes.
No,
I guess.
You're not muted.
No, I'm not. Okay. My name is Janine, and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is June 1988, so I've been sober for 34 years.
خب میگم اسمم جنین هستش و الکلی هستم و تاریخ هوشیاریم جون سال 1988، یعنی تقریبا 33 سالی که الان هوشیاری دارم. اوکی.
Yeah, that's more than half my life, and I've been very active in AA the whole time.
و خب این بیشتر از میشه تقریبا گفت بیشتر از نیمی از زندگی منه و من تو تمام مدت تو AA فعال بودم.
Yeah. I started drinking when I was 15. And I drank alcoholically from the very beginning.
و خب من از سن 15 سالگی شروع به مشروب خوردن کردم و از همون اولم به صورت بیمارگونه مثل الکلی مشروب خوردم.
I remember that night I started drinking because a boy I liked didn't like me. And universal theme. And I remember how the drink changed me. All these years later, I remember how that drink changed me.
و اون شب مشروب خوردم و یادم به خاطر مشروب خوردم که چون از یه پسری خوشم میومد و اون عمه خوشش نمیومد. عمه خوشش نیومد دیگه و یادم وقتی که اون مشروب خوردم چجوری رو من اثر گذاشت و منو تغییر داد.
I was very shy. I was very self-conscious. And that drink made me feel like I was beautiful and I was funny and I could dance.
و خب من خیلی آدم خجالتی بودم، خیلی آدمی بودم که حواسم بود مثلا به همه کارام حواسم بود و اینا و حواس جمع بودم و اون مشروبه که خوردم بهم احساس اعتماد به نفس داد، احساس آرامش داد و این حس بهم داد که میتونم برقصم.
That night didn't go well. I blacked out. I woke up the next morning, vaguely remember getting in a fist fight with the girlfriend I went to the party with. And I was no tough girl. And I was still drunk and very, very sick.
Okay. و خب میگه من هیچی از اون شب یادم نیست. یادم که فقط سیاهش شدم و بعد فرداش که خواب پا شدم فهمیدم که ظاهرا من با اون دوستم که یه خانم بودی که باش رفته بودم مهمونی با اون دعوام شده افتادیم تو کتککاری و این حرفا و صبحش هم من همچنان هنوز خودم هست بودم و حالم خیلی بودم.
And this is why I know that I was an alcoholic from the very beginning, because my thought was next time I'll do it better. There was no doubt in my mind that there would be a next time and it would be as soon as I could get my hands on another drink.
و خب از همونجا مشخص میشه دیگه، همونجا معلوم میشه که من الکلی هستم و خب این حرف رو خودم میزدم که خب من دفعه بعد دیگه کنترلش میکنم، درست مصرف میکنم و خیلی با قاطعیت مطمئن بودم که دفعه بعدی هستش و به جای اون دفعه بعد.
I believe that if I were allergic to peanuts, let's say, where you have a bad reaction, you get really, really sick, and you do things that are embarrassing, I might have thought maybe I won't have peanuts anymore.
You want to go?
Should I go more? Can you do more?
Hold on, let me just translate so far. و خب میگن که مثلا من به این باورم که خب اگر که به من بگم مثلا من حساسیت دارم به بادوم زمینی و من یه بادوم زمینی بخورم خیلی وزن به هم میریزه، خیت میشه و کارایی میکنم که باعث میشه خجالت زده بشم دیگه، خب من قاعدتا بادوم زمینی نمیخورم دیگه.
And we talk about alcoholism being an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. And I had it right away. There was no way that I was not going to, that I wasn't going to drink again. There was no way that I wasn't going to pursue what made me feel so, so comfortable in my skin, maybe for the first time since I was a very young girl.
و خب ما از الکلیسم به عنوان بیماری که شامل وسواس فکری و ویار بدنیه یاد میکنیم و این چیزی که خب من قطعا میرم دوباره اونو دنبال میکنم، اینکه خب بالاخره من یه چیزی اون موقع خوردم که یه دختر جوان بودم و رفتم یه چیزی خوردم که برای مدت بعد از مدت ها احساس خیلی خوب و آرامشی به من دست داده به خاطرش.
My drinking was just like that night. I don't really need to tell you more about the drinks, right? But sometimes I could control my drinking, but I never could control and enjoy my drinking at the same time. If I was controlling my drinking, I was thinking about not drinking. It took up a lot of time in my mind. And then oftentimes I just said, forget it. And I would feel that relief and just drink as much as I wanted or as much as the alcoholism told me to.
من خب مشروب خوردنم همیشه مثل همون شب بود. فکر نمی‌کنم نیازی باشه بیشتر واردش بشم بهتون توضیح بدم. و اینکه خب حالا مثلا میتونم بگم هیچ وقت نتونستم کنترل شده بخورم. یعنی مثلا میتونستم یه وقتای کنترل شده بخورم ولی لذت نمی‌بردم. حال نمی‌داد بهم. و اگر می اومدم کنترل بخورم مثلا به این فکر می‌کردم که قطع کنم دیگه نخورم و بعدش هم مثلا یه خوردهش فکر می‌کردم گذاشتم بلش کنم بذار بخورم و هر چقدر که دلم می‌خواست یا هم الکلیسم من بهم گفت همونقدر می‌خوردم که اون آرامشه بهم دست بده.
I was very embarrassed by what I did when I was drinking, but I didn't put it together that the drinking was a problem. I thought I was just a bad person.
Okay. و خب من به شدت خجالت زده بودم از کاری که زمان مشروب خوری انجام میدادم و اینو به این حساب نداشتم که خب مثلا شاید مشروب من اونجوری کرده، اینو رو این حساب گذاشتم که من آدم بدیم.
I have a friend who talks about alcoholism as a gorilla and he says you don't stop dancing with the gorilla until the gorilla is finished. You know my friend.
Yeah, I think I've heard his sharing here. It's a he, right?
Yeah.
I think I know it. و خب میگم من یه دوستی دارم که این الکل خوردن رو به یه رقص با گوریل توصیف میکنه و من آدم قبلا اینجا گردنده بوده و میگه که یه توصیفی از رقص با گوریل که من یادم سفره ولی فکر کنم این بودش که اون گوریله تا وقتی که رقص تمام نشده وانه نیسته. Okay.
I was able to succeed, though I probably would have done better without drinking, but I was able to finish high school, finish college. I was able to show up in a way so that people didn't think there was something wrong with me, but I knew there was something wrong with me.
و خب برای من اینجوری که خب من میتونستم زندگیمو داشتم پیش میبردم، یعنی من میتونستم به کارم برسم، میرفتم به کالج میرفتم و داشتم زندگیمو میکردم و مردم نمیتونستم بفهمن که من یه مشکلی دارم، ولی خب خودم میدونستم یه مشکلی دارم، یه چیزی.
I remember once in college going to the church of my childhood and praying on my knees that there be no consequences to my behavior from the night before, that I wouldn't get in trouble. I didn't get in trouble, it turned out. I got away with it. What I, you know, my behavior, and nobody, I didn't get caught doing anything. But I, what am I trying to say? Sorry. It's nice to be able to, but I never imagined. So I had this idea that there was a God, but I didn't want God involved in my decision whether to drink or not. And I thought it, I was making a decision. I didn't know it was alcoholism.
و خب من حتی یادم میاد یه در رفتم به اون کلیسای بچگیام و دعا کردم اونجا که عواقبی نداشته باشه مشروب خوردنم. و خب یه ذره حالا میگه عواقبی هم نداشت واسه حالا تو شهر اتفاقی واسم نیفتاد، ولی یه ذره از بحثی خارج شد گفتش که در اصل حالا من حالا در وجودم میدونستم که خوده داره، ولی نمیخواستم حالا به مسئله مشروب خوردنم کاری داشته باشم و فکر می‌کنم که خب من حق انتخاب دارم و اصلا چه دست خودم. I mean, you can take your time. I know it's really difficult for you to talk and somebody and you have to stop and somebody translate and then you have to think about what you were saying. And yes, you can take your time. You can any direction if you want to. Just,
okay.
You know, okay. Yeah, feel comfortable.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, now I've completely lost my train of thought. So,
we're talking about the church that you went and you
yes, and praying. I didn't have a concept of a higher power, as they talk about in AA, that would help me when I was, you know, I always thought I had to get good to get help from God. I thought I had to get good first. And I thought God was very judgmental and mean because that's what I was taught.
و خب من هیچ مفهومی از نیروی برتر بر خودم نداشتم و فکر می‌کردم که من باید خب مثلا آدم خوبی بشم که بخوام خود کمک بگیرم. فکر می‌کردم خدا منو قضاوت می‌کنه و این حرفا و این چیزی که یاد گرفته بودم و این چیزی بود که من اون موقع فکر کردم.
When I finally got sober, it was after one more night of intending, really not wanting to drink, but I drank anyways, and it was ugly and embarrassing, like it always was, like it often was. And that morning I woke up and I looked in the mirror and I said, you're an alcoholic.
و خب اون شبی که آخرین بار مشروب خوردم یه شبی بود مثل همه اون شبایی که میخواستم دیگه نخورم، به شدت داشتم تلاش میکردم نخورم ولی نمیتونستم و صبحشم که خواب پاشدم یادم این که خیلی منم بد بود و تو آینه نگاه کردم و به خودم گفتم بیا.
My father was in AA at the time, so I knew where to go. So I showed up at AA and I was willing to believe that maybe the people in the room knew what they were talking about. That was my first higher power in AA, was you, the group of drunks.
Yeah. و خب من پدرم موقع توی AA بودش و خب من میدرسم کجورت برم واسه مشکل و خب من فکر میکنم اونجا بالاخره هم میدونم با چی کار کرد که وقتی رفتم اونجا و بخاطر همین نیروی برتر اول من همین شماها بودین افراد جلسه.
I heard that if you work the steps you will feel better, and that's all I ever wanted was to feel better, so I dove in.
و خب شنیده بودم که اگه قدم کار بکنی حالت بهتر میشه و خب منم تنها چیزی که می‌خواستم این بود که حالم بهتر شه. بعد رفتم تو کم به انجام دادنش.
I didn't expect to feel a compulsion to drink because I thought I wasn't that bad because I drank periodically, as they say. I drank once in a while. But when that once in a while came around as a sober person in my first few months of sobriety, I felt very, very uncomfortable.
و خب من هیچ وقت فکر نمی‌کردم که من اجباری به مشروب خوردن داشته باشم، چون فکر نمی‌کردم من اینقدر وزنم خراب باشه، هیچ وقت فکر نمی‌کردم اجبار فکری رو داشته باشم. ولی وقتی که پشیار شدم و اون چند ماه اول یادم میاد، چون چند ماه اول باشم خیلی فوق‌العاده سخت بود برام و خیلی حس بدی داشتم.
My first acts of faith were to not drink no matter what and to go to an AA meeting instead of listening to what my mind said, because my mind said, you're not an alcoholic, so you can drink as much as you want, which is a crazy thought.
Yeah. و خب میگه که من اولین رشته از امید که داشتم این بودش که مشروب نخورم، مهم نیست چی میشه، و برم جلسه و ببینم ادامهش، چون خب اون کاری که ذهنم میگه رو انجام ندم. تو ذهنم میگه که خب تو الکلی نیستی، هر چقدر بخوای میتونی بخوری، و من حرف اونو گوش ندم. Believe me, my mind still says you're not an alcoholic, maybe you can drink.
Yeah. I once heard at a meeting a woman shared that she told her sister that she wasn't an alcoholic after going to AA. And her sister said to her, that's great, you don't have to drink anymore, which was kind of hilarious because what the woman was trying to communicate to her sister was, I can drink. If I'm not an alcoholic, I can drink. And a non-alcoholic hears that as, you're not an alcoholic, great, you don't have to drink.
Yeah. و خب اتفاقا من یادمه که یه دفعه یه خانومی با خواهرش اومد تو جلسه و خواهرش داره برگشت گفت که آره من الکلی نیستم، بعد خواهرش هم برگشت گفت چه خوب پس دیگه مجبور نیستی مشروب بخوری، که خب چیز خنده‌داریه به نظرم، چون خب اون یارو این حرفو زد که منظورش این بود که من دیگه برم بخورم، دیگه الکلی که نیستم میتونم برم بخورم، و خواهرش هم گفت خب پس اگه نیستی میتونی نخوری دیگه، اگه بخوای دیگه دست بخوری.
So my first experience with the third step, which I want to talk about today, came to believe that a power greater than myself, or no, that's the second step, turned my will and life over to the care of God as I understood God, was in not drinking, no matter what my mind was telling me and what my body was feeling, but instead seeking a solution that didn't come in a bottle.
و خب اولین بحث اینه که قدم سومی که بعد عنوان قدم سوم گفت اراده و اختیار زندگی را به خدا سپردن، گفت اینه که مشروب نخوری، مهم نیست چه اتفاقی قرار بیفته، مهم نیست ذهنت به چی میگه یا جسم چه احساسی داره، مشروب نخوری و دنبال راه حلی باشی توی یه بطری نباشی مشروب نخوری.
At first, I thought I had to understand God to take this step, but I really had to just, I still don't understand God, but I had to be willing to have experiences of a higher power that the big book talks about being infinite power and love.
و خب من فکر میکردم که من باید خدا رو بفهمم و بشناسم که این قدم بردارم، و صادقانه بگم همین الانش من درست نمیفهمم خدا رو، ولی تنها چیزی که لازم این قدم اینه که قبول داشته باشه که نیروی وجود داره با یک عشق بی نهایت به که میتونه کمک بکنه.
My sponsor taught me that taking the third step meant making a decision to do the next step, which was the fourth step, the inventory step. So I did that, and I finished all my steps.
و خب من راهنما بهم میگفتش که انجام قدم 3 یه تصمیم گرفتم برای انجام قدم 4 هستش که اون ترازنامه رو تنظیم بکنیم، و خب منم این کار انجام دادم و قدم ها کار کردم.
I met a man in AA and we got married. We had 3 children and you know, life was pretty good for a long time. Life was very, very good.
و خب من با یک آقای توی آشنا شدم، با هم ازدواج کردیم و 3 تا بچه هم داریم با هم، و خب برای مدت خوب زندگی خیلی خوب بود. The reason I'm smiling because the first time I talked to him, I was pretty resentful at him. I didn't want to have anything to do with him anymore.
That is funny.
Yeah. 2 years ago.
I felt that way too sometimes. So when my middle son was 10 years old, he was diagnosed with a brain tumor.
Your middle son?
My son, yes. My okay. middle, my, it doesn't matter if it's middle. Yeah. When my son was 10 years old, he was diagnosed with a brain tumor.
و خب وقتی پسرم 10 سالش بود اونو تشخیص دادن که تومور مغزی داره.
He needed a sober mom. He needed a sober mom. And I really started to question this God of mine in my life, right? I didn't realize I still had an old idea that if I did everything right in AA and everything correct right as a mother, that my child, I just thought I had this idea that then everything would turn out okay. And this was not okay.
و خب اون خب بچه‌م به یه مادر هوشیار و پاک نیاز داشت، و خب من ایده رو از خود یه ایده حالا خود داشتم، یه ایده قدیمی که خب بالاخره اگه همه چی خوب پیش بره همه چی خوبه دیگه، من فکر می‌کنم همه چی قرار خوب پیش بره، ولی خب همه چی خوب پیش نرفت.
So my son had many surgeries and at one point ended up in the hospital for 6 months. I remember calling my sponsor after it was determined he was going to have another emergency surgery. And she said to me, "You don't think you can do it, right?" And I said, "That's right. I can't do it." And she said to me, "You're doing it."
و خب پسرم زیر کلی جراحی و اینا مختلف رفتش، یه دفعه حتی پیش ما تو بیمارستان بستری بود، من یادم بعد یکی از جراحیاش گفتن که این باید یه جراحی فوری اورژانسی دیگه دوباره بشه انجام بشه، و من زنگ زدم به راهنمام و راهنمام گفت فکر می‌کنی دیگه نمی‌تونی ادامه بدی، و گفتم آره، و گفتش که همین الان داری ادامه میدی و داری انجام میشه، چرا میتونی.
Got angry with God when I got angry with the circumstances. She never told me cliches, but she always asked me, "How have you been cared for?" Which is a part of our third step.
Yeah. و هیچ وقت این سوالات کلیشه‌ای رو هم ازم نپرسید که خب وقتی که از دست خدا عصبانی میشی یا چرا اصلا از دست خدا عصبانی، این چیزا رو من نپرسید. گفتش که چجوری هوا تو دسته تا عملا میجام قدم
سن. And no matter how difficult things became with my son in that time when he was in the hospital, I was always cared for. And a lot of that care came from AA members. We were in a distant city and there were AA people who worked in the hospital. You know, there were great doctors who just took us in as if we were family. There was an AA woman who would pick me up in front of the hospital and take me to coffee when I needed to get out.
و خب مهم نیستن کار، یعنی چقدر سخت بود داستان حالا پسرم، ولی خب اون موقع توی چون حالا چی میگن اینو همیشه هوامو داشتش، یه نیروی همیشه هوامو داشت و خیلی توی ای ای افرادی توی ای ای بودن هوامو داشتن و توی شهر دوری بودیم، خیلی از افراد ای ای میامدن توی بیمارستان کار میکردن خیلیشون و یه طورشون دکتر بودن و یه جوری اصلا با ما رفتار میکنن انگار خانواده شون و خیلی هوای ما رو داشتم. و من یادم یه خانومی هم بودش که میومد اون بیمارستان من رو سوار میکرد، همه که احساس خستگی و داغونی میکرد من سوار میکرد میبردش، قهوه میخوردم و همیشه هوا رو داشتم.
My son survived that hospitalization and I stayed sober, which is a lot. There were many times I smelled alcohol on other parents in the pediatric ICU.
و خب من پسرم نجات پیدا کرد و منم هوشیار موندم، تو خیلی وقت بود من حالا بوی الکل پدر مادره دیگه که تو اتاق انتظار اون بیمارستان بودن همراه مریض بودن قشنگ گوش می اومد و من تو اون تایم هوشیار موندم.
So for me, the third step took on new meaning because it became about looking for how I was cared for every single day rather than wanting to change my circumstances, right? Wanting to manage and control my circumstances.
اوکی و برابر این قدم سه یک مفهوم جدیدی برام پیدا کرد و به جای اینکه بیام من سعی کنم ببینم موقعیت رو کنترل بکنم و ببینم چه خبره، این به این معنی شد برای من کم کم که حالا یه جوری بیشتر به این نگاه بکنم توی روز چجوری هوای من داشت، چجوری یه نیروی ازم مراقبت کرده.
Don't get me wrong, I did absolutely everything a human can do to advocate for my son. But I started to let go of the idea that I will ever understand why things happen in this world. I just don't understand why horrible things happen to good people. And we're not the only ones. But
I was just writing that in my inventory list today. I'm doing another fourth step. I was just writing that about God. و خب میگه که منظور من اشتباه برداشت نکنین، من هیچ وقت دست از تلاش رو این حرفا برای پسرم بر نداشتم و خب اصلا سوال هم این بود چرا همیشه اتفاق خوب برای آدم خوب اتفاقای بد برای آدم خوب میفته و این حرفا، ولی کم کم این فکر این که چرا هر اتفاقی میفته دیگه رفت کنار از کله من و دیگه چیزی که شده اینجوری شده.
The big book talks about finite mind and infinite God. And I've stopped trying to figure out infinite God with my finite mind. But somehow I have more faith than ever.
و خب کتاب بزرگ از ایده خدا صحبت می خوده، بی نهایت با ذهن محدود صحبت می کنه و من دیگه از این دست برداشتم که سعی کنم ذهن محدودم یه نیروی بی نهایت رو درک بکنم.
In 2020, my son's brain tumor became active again when he was 22 years old. And the treatments didn't work this time. So I walked through his death, surrounded by loving people, including some of my family members that I never thought I'd speak to again when I started AA.
Sorry about that. و سال 2020 تومور پسر من دوباره فعال شد و 22 سالش بود و این دفعه دیگه درمان جواب نداد و خب منم دیگه با مرگش مواجه شدم. گرفتم و اصلا کمک از جایی اومد که اصلا باورم نمیشد، یعنی حتی اعضای خانواده که باشید با صحبت دیگه نمیکردم اومدم با من صحبت کردن و من دلداری دادم.
So if my story says anything, I hope it communicates that we don't have to drink no matter what, because we, I know I have a fatal and progressive illness. When I drink, it doesn't end well. It just doesn't ever end well. And I still have alcoholism and I still need you.
و بنابراین اگه دوستان من پیامی داشته باشه، امیدوارم پیامو بهتون منتقل کرده باشه که مهم نیست چه اتفاقی بیفته، شما مجبور دیگه نیستین مصرف بکنین. و اینو من امروز میدونم که من یک بیماری پیچ‌دهنده و کشنده دارم به نام الکلیسم و این مشروب خوردن، مصرف کردن قرار نیست چیزی رو برطرف کنه، فقط این بیماری رو شدید می‌کنه.
So if you're new, the ultimate act of faith is to not drink or use, no matter what.
و بنابراین بهتون بگم اگر تازه وارد هستین، اون بهترین ایمانی که میتونین داشته باشین، بهترین ایمان فعالی که میتونین داشته باشین، اینی که مشروب نخوریم، مصرف نکنیم. مهم نیست چه اتفاقی میفته، فقط مصرف نکنیم.
Yeah. And what else do I want to say? I've got a few more minutes. Can I tell a little story? I hope it translates.
Yeah, sure.
So this is my third step story. When my children were little, my husband and I rented this little, it was like a little bicycle, but for four people. And there were two steering wheels in the front.
Damn. Okay.
Will this translate?
This is translatable. I was just thinking about a four-wheel bicycle.
Yeah.
و خب میگه که من وقتی که بچه‌ام کوچیک داستان قدم سه می‌خوام براتون بگم. وقتی ما بچه‌ام کوچیک بودن، من همسرم یه دوچرخه چهارچرخ خرید. چهارچرخش و دو تا فرمون داشت. دو تا صندلی اینور، دو تا صندلی اونور و دو تا فرمون داشت. آها.
So it was at the beach and I was trying it to turn my wheel. I was getting so mad at people because they were getting in our way and I was trying to turn my wheel and to keep my children safe in the back of this little buggy thing.
و خب یادم که توی ساحل بودیم و من داشتم فرمونو میچرخوندم، چون بخیر هم عصبانی بودم به خاطر اینکه مردم میامدن جلو راهمون، صد راهمون میشونم، من باید میچرخیدم و سعی داشتم بچه ها نگه داری بکنم که حالا توی اون چیز.
اوپس، did I lose? Oh gosh. Hello? Did we lose him?
The hashtag more. I'm here, I think. Okay. Hold on a second. I think I should turn off my VPN so it doesn't slow us down. Yeah. Because
okay.
These days everything is with VPN over here. Living is with VPN.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So my husband tapped me on the shoulder and I was very upset. And he whispered to me, "Your steering wheel doesn't work." And that's how it is with me and God. I think I'm steering, but my steering wheel doesn't work.
و خب همسرم زد به شونم و گفتش که این فرمونت کار نمی‌کنه. فرمون دست خودش بده فکر کنم. و این داستان من و خدا هستش. یعنی دست فرمون دست اونه، دست من نیست.
And here we have little car seats for the car for children. And sometimes there's a plastic steering wheel that for a toy that people can get. I'm like the child in the back of the car, and God is the driver.
You, when you said that, I was actually thinking of that.
Yeah.
و خب از این صندلی هستش که بچه رو میزنن تو ماشین، میزنن روش صندلی بچه. بعضی وقتا این یه فرمون هم روش داره و دوستان من و خدا هم همینه، من مثل اون بچه هم روی اون صندلی اون فرمون کاری نمی کنید، فقط باز کردم.
So I just want to say that, you know, if the word God scares you, it scared me too. And I've been introduced to the God in the big book that is infinite power and love. And there's one other phrase in the big book that talks about tapping an unsuspected inner resource. And that's what I found here. And I've been able to stay sober through hard things and be, you know, okay, be sad, be happy, be human. And that's all I have to say.
That was too many sentences at the same time. I forget.
Oh, sorry, sweetie.
I'm sorry. Okay.
No. It was so brilliant too. I've met, you know, the God of is infinite power and love. Okay. Another phrase from the big book is an unsuspected inner resource.
خب میگه من اینجا یک نیروی پیدا کردم که عشق بی‌نهایت داره و یک کلمه هم توی کتاب داره که میگه یک نیروی که قدرت بی‌نهایت و کارایی داشته باشه. این ترجمه رو کنیم کتاب دقیقاً چجوری ترجمه کرده، مفهوم من حرفی که زدیم میشه ترجمه کتابش، من نمیدونم چجوری ترجمه کرده. اوکی.
I've been able to stay sober through hard things, through great things. And, you know, I'm okay. And I still love AA just from, like I did from the beginning. And thank you so much for this chance to meet you.
Thank you. I want to get back to you right now. Just let me translate this lesson. و خب من توی موندم و هوشیار موندم و خب هر اتفاق افتاد هوشیار، حالا خیلی اتفاق افتاد که سختی ها اینا، هوشیار موندم و هنوزم عاشق AA هستم و این چیزی که AA به من داد و خیلی خوشحالم که اومدم امشب اینجا، خیلی خوشحال شدم و ممنون از شما. Thanks for coming, Janine. I always wanted to see you. I always wanted to meet you. Like, you know, I was always like, Alan was talking about you and I was like, who is that lady? I want to meet her. So,
thank you.
That was awesome. Yeah, we're going to be in touch through email, okay?
Great.
The rest of it is going to be in person. The rest of the meeting is going to be in person. I can send you the translation of the shared stuff. There will be like 40